morning. You know, first of all, I must say, I really welcome Derek because yesterday when he saw me, he was like, wow, PC, I heard you are speaking. Come on, I'm coming. So thanks for coming all the way from Australia, you know, to hear this message. It's just a joke. It's just a joke. Okay. But for reals, you know, this is the house of God. So have you met him yet? You know, so many times we come to God's house week in, week out, but we didn't meet God. We meet the pastors, we meet our best friends, you know, guys meet girls, girls meet guys, but we didn't meet God, even though it's his house. So I just thought that, you know, today, even before we start, if you were busy thinking about so many other things, I feel like God just wants to remind you that this is his house. And he is waiting to meet with you, okay? If you have been, you know, distracted, maybe we can just put a focus, you know, a little bit from now on so that you can meet him, right? We come to his house to meet him. Amen? Okay. God, thank you. Thank you for bringing us here today. Maybe some of us, we had reasons and we didn't want to come or we thought we couldn't make it, but we are here, even those who are online. We thought we were too tired. We would sleep late, but we got up. So we turned on the screen because you want to meet with us. So I pray that we get to meet you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I want to start with a family photo. This is Every Nation Culture. Okay, of course, that's my husband. My husband and I, we pastor the church in Every Nation PJ. And in case you do not know, Every Nation PJ is different from Every Nation Damansara. Okay? Yeah, because yesterday I met a bunch of people. They said, PJ, that's the one, Pastor Shong, the Damansara. So I say, okay, no, there is another church. Okay? It's next to Paradigm. Okay? Not in Damansara. Okay? Anyways, that's our daughter, Mel. Mel is currently studying inclusive education, okay, in Adelaide. We are very proud of her because she actually had to go through quite a lot of challenges to be where she is today. But the one that is most powerful, the screen just blacked out, okay, but it's all right, I still got one more screen. The one that I want to talk about is actually my mother-in-law, Annie. She's the Queen Annie, you know, in the middle. Looks like Queen Elizabeth, right? So, well, it was her birthday. It was her 80th birthday. And, you know, I was helping her celebrate. And I asked her, so what do you want to celebrate 80 years? And she said this, fruitfulness, 80 years of fruitfulness. And I look at her life. I mean, she's such an amazing lady because I think when Pastor Cal was 11, her husband left her for his secretary. And she had to raise three boys. She was just a school teacher. But she went to the Lord, continued to do what was right. She continued to raise the kids, to love the Lord, love their father, relate with their father, even embrace the other family. I also seen how she has treated her niece and nephews when they needed to come to KL to study. I mean, she only had a house, a small house, but she would make room to house them. And you know, on that birthday, she actually had to have two lunches to celebrate. That's how many relatives, friends, they all call her blessed. And I kind of thought that her life was defined by Micah 6:8, where he says, this is what is required of you from the Lord, which is, in a way, this is what God wants for you. Do what is right, do justly, love kindness or love mercy, and walk humbly in the Lord. And this lady, you know, she is always serving the Lord. Going for mission is her highlight of her life. That's what she testified, you know, on that lunch. And that's one time I called her. I said, hey, Ma, what are you doing this weekend? Oh, I'm cooking for the homeless people, you know, to feed the homeless. And she's just amazing, okay? So I don't know about you, but maybe when you celebrate 40, 50, or 60, what would define your life? I believe Annie has really lived a life that walked according to the will of God. And that's why is so beautiful and fruitful. Okay? So which is why kind of like, you know, why I want to talk about this topic called the will of God. I don't know if you have ever asked this question. ChatGPT said, millions, if not billions of people at one point of their life would have asked this question. And as a pastor for many years, I think I've been asked these questions very many times. Okay, what is the will of God for me? Well, actually, there are two wills of God I must clarify. Okay, the first one is called the sovereign will. Sovereign will means, in other words, is the will to decree. Okay, that means it is all up to God. It's mostly secretive, and you can't stop it, whether you believe it or not. It doesn't matter. God will ensure that it happens. No one can break it. For example, Jesus is coming back again. Whether you want or don't want, He is coming back. That's the sovereign will of God. So I cannot be telling you how to find out the sovereign will of God, because mostly God Himself, only God Himself knows. Okay? So of course, we are kind of looking at the second kind, the will of God, which is the will to command, or the revealed will of God. The one that is kind of depending on your choices. And it can be broken and can be failed many, many times. So not everybody will walk in that will of God, basically, okay? Because God does not force that to happen. Well, if you look at the Bible, there are many, many, many scriptures, easily more than 20, that talks about very specifically the will of God, okay? For example, it says, in everything, give thanks, or in every circumstance, give thanks, for this is the will of God. But you can no need to give thanks, right? So it can be broken. That's called the will to command, all right? So I want to kind of talk about this, all right? And my passage is only on Romans 12. So it's just a portion, just a little insight about the will of God. And today I attempt to answer three questions. And, you know, thank you, Pastor Sean. They know I like to talk a lot, you know, woman, older woman. So they say, no question. Don't ask question. Let me talk. Okay, so I appreciate that. All right, so three questions, okay? But we'll start with the text. Wherever you are, if you don't mind, please read along with me, because if you just hear me, you are just using your ears. But if you read, you are using your mouth, your ears, your eyes. You know, we can all begin to take this word of God so that it will affect us. Is that okay? All right, so one, two, go. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See? So this verse actually tells you, not only you can know, but you can prove. Okay, the difference between know and prove is like this. How many of you know that exercise is very good for you? Okay, no need to lift your hands up. You know lah, you're so smart. You're in every nation church, okay? You know. How many of you can prove that exercise really keeps you healthy? Okay, never mind. Okay, for a while. Okay, so but it's constantly proving, right? Yeah, so I must share that. You know, at least at one point in time, there's one, maybe two, 3 years back, maybe, my cholesterol went up more than 7. Okay, it's super high. But I didn't want to take medication. So I thought I was drinking juice, I was trying to eat salad most of the time, okay? But, you know, normal. I don't want to suffer, okay? I want to enjoy life, okay? But I want to eat, you know, reasonably healthy. Okay, but my cholesterol is still so high. So I decided, okay, I'm going to exercise. Every day, walk my garden, you know, my park, 3 to 5 km, try to walk 5 days a week, 4 to 5 days. I think I did that just almost a year. The next year when I test, 4. I prove that exercise is good for me. Okay, I prove. Okay, so this is what this verse is about. You know, God promises so many things, right? He promises, give us peace surpass understanding. How many get to prove that peace? Are we still in anxiety? Are we still in fear? Are we still troubled? Can we prove this peace that surpasses understanding in our life? Well, if you are a child of God today, I want to tell you, this is God's promise for you, okay? Now, so let me ask the first question, says, so how can I know and prove the will of God for me? Go back, that scripture. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove. Okay? So, very simple. The answer is very simple. To prove the will of God, I must be transformed by the renewing of mind. Everything actually happens. The battle actually is all in the mind. And our mind is so important. You can say whatever you want. Your life won't go there. It is your mind. Pastor Craig Crochet says this, you know, and I think he has a book. He says, your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thought. What is your strongest thought today? If it is fear, then I can assure you, you won't get to prove the peace of God. See? So, the mind is always leading us towards the direction of our life, whether you like it or not. And what's wrong with our mind, actually? Okay, I want to bring out this verse. Very simple. It says, Romans 8:7. The mind, our mind, is set on the flesh, is hostile towards God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Okay, I want to do a little illustration, okay? And I'm going to borrow Sharon's prop, okay? Just very quickly. When God created us, He created us spirit. Soul. That's where your mind, your emotions, your desires, soul. And then, you have your body, of course. This is where you show off your six-pack. But six-pack is not as important as the spirit. So smaller. Okay? Spirit, soul, body. The soul, where the mind is, the thoughts is, it's neutral. It's by itself, it's not sinful, okay? But what happened is when Adam fell, he brought sin into our life and our spirit is darkened. Spirit refused to be darkened, okay? Actually, yeah, it fights. I don't know. Okay, it doesn't matter. Okay, you got my point, okay? So basically, We had nobody to influence us, correct? Because the spirit is already darkened. And so our mind just looked towards the body and the flesh. So that's why when we were born, we already know, I want this, right? Because the flesh, okay, sin influenced our body, the flesh, and we begin to cry out everything that we want. Hungry, 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 I want this. I don't want to eat vegetable. See, the flesh is strong. And what the flesh does is, first thing it teaches you is, be independent of God. The first thing. So our mind, just being trained, years, it's almost like autopilot. We begin to think the way that the flesh wants us to think. And the Bible always differentiates what is on the flesh as what is on the spirit to be superbly contrary. In fact, this verse says it so clearly. It says the way the flesh thinks is hostile. It's the enemy of God. It does not submit to God's law. In fact, it cannot. You know, I give you a simple question. I mean, a simple scenario. Give to God whatever God has given it to you, right? In the Old Testament, it's just a small guideline of give the best, the top 10%. In the New Testament, it's all of our life. Actually, everything that we own actually belongs to God. That is the right mindset. But for the flesh, right? I mean, recently, you know, someone was preaching that in our church. It was so interesting in the discussion question. Everybody admits that it is so hard to give to God because I'm thinking about my holiday in Japan. It's so hard to give to God because I'm thinking about the next iPhone or the next car or something else. You know, just to give to God. Oh, the flesh screams to rebel, to reject. Right? Okay, so it just shows you the flesh is hostile toward God. And that's why when we come to God, okay, so when we come to God, okay, so good. Our spirit, God did, this is what Jesus has done. You didn't do this, it's very simple. You are regenerated, you're born again. This is the gift of God. You didn't do anything to earn it, but removed. So you now have the spirit. But the problem is, your soul, your mind is still like that because this is like years of training, being taught the ways of the flesh. So that is why the verse says, you cannot know God's will because you are still turning to this automatically, you are still considering this unless you renew your mind, you turn. And that is not the work of God only. Because this sanctification, this renewal, has to have the work of the Holy Spirit doing that. Okay, which is actually, it leads me to my next question, right? Okay, but before I go there, maybe I share another version of Romans 12:2 by this J.B. Phillips. He put this, let God remold your minds from within. It is just not knowledge, in fact. It has to be a knowledge that became an internal conviction that you turn. Then you may prove the plans of God for you. That good, that meets all His demands and moves towards the goal of true maturity. So, right, you how you want to know God's will, you need to renew your mind. Okay, because your mind has a problem. And it is still in that journey. My mind still has that problem. And I'm still in that journey, allowing the Lord to turn. So you want to ask, right? The next question. So then how can I be transformed by this renewal of mind? Is it just reading the Bible? Well, if just reading the Bible is not enough, okay? Yes, you need the truth, but you also need the Holy Spirit. In fact, I always tell my people, don't just read the Bible. Let the Bible reads you. Okay, why? See, this next scripture, it says, all of us, as we unveil face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. You know what is mirror? It shows you. It reads you, right? You go to a mirror, oh, pimple. Okay, it shows you if you have a pimple. If you just read the Word of God, not treating it like a mirror, you just have knowledge. But knowledge is not opinion necessarily. It's not perspective. It's not conviction. May not. Correct? Knowledge is just knowledge. In fact, most of the time, we are trained to only take the things that we like. We change our opinions. But the things in the Bible that makes us uncomfortable, we just ignore it. We just continue to practice the same way that the flesh has trained us to think. But you see, this word says, not just that, right, in the God, constantly being transfigured. This is the word, transform into His very own image in every increasing splendor. And from one degree of glory to another, from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So first, we need the Word of God to read us. And it's not just reading us. We need the work of the Spirit transforming us so that it can change our mind bit by bit. Another scripture that shows that this whole work of renewal cannot be done just by you and I. It's not a natural work. It's not like going to university and study. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. He saves us not because of the work done by us, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of the regeneration. Remember, that's His part. He did that for us. But the renewal is our part, together with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs to renew our minds. So this is a work of the Holy Spirit, all right? It is a supernatural work. So how can that happen? You must ask for it. You must want it. And you must invite it. Not try harder. It is not our work, okay, to make it work, okay? I read this, borrowed from John Piper. He says, this is the double work when it comes to renewal, okay? The double work of the Holy Spirit. First, it has to be outside in. That means your mind's being enlightened. Like today, I hope that my goal is just that this truth will enlighten you, right? And you, if you don't hear it, the Holy Spirit also can't do anything, correct? Because first, it has to be received. Which is why you must have your time with God, your devotion. Without reading the Bible, it is not just a spiritual discipline required, but it is a life-changing journey, actually, of our salvation, where we get to allow the truth of God to affect our minds. So outside in, you need to receive discussion, your own devotion, your listening to preachers, coming to seminars or whatsoever. You know, this is allowing the truth. In fact, true fellowship that we really want is not just food. It should be talking about what does God mean? How do we practice that? How can we change our mind about the things that we used to think differently before we know the truth? And the second word then, you see, once you have allowed the truth to come into your life, there's an inside out work. That means the Holy Spirit begins to break our hearts, you know, convicts us, challenges us, helps us to see the ways that are wrong. And helping us to make right opinions, okay, about things. And I tell you, really, okay, don't be offended. God's will is not to make you happy. Because to be transformed and to change is very painful. Because you have to turn. You know, I was joking yesterday. Once I went many rounds looking for car park. When I found the car park, okay, so I was very happy. The guy was about to come out, right? So I quickly put my signal. Tick, 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 tick. Oh, so happy after maybe 20, 30 minutes, you know. Oh, so happy. And then suddenly one car just came from behind, right? Go in front of me. When this car go out, he vroom. He took my car park. You know, at that point of time, okay, this many, many years ago, I was carnal. The first thought that came to me, this is so unfair, correct? It's so unfair. You know what? I got to teach him a lesson. I should just scratch his car. Okay, I apologize. I am so carnal. Okay, I was so carnal. I know you are holy, you, Every Nation Church pastor. You never think like that, okay, but it was me. Okay, really affected by the flesh, you know. So that would make me happy because I was very unhappy he took my place. I wanted him to pay. Okay, but of course I didn't do that. Don't worry, guys, I didn't scratch the car. I had conviction at the last minute, okay. Okay, I ran away. Yeah. So because God's will is not about making you happy. And you know, if someone took something for you, you know, you're unhappy, you want to pay back, and you want him to pay back, but that will make you happy, but God is not concerned about that. God wants you to forgive, right? Are you happy forgiving people? I'm learning. But it was not very happy, okay? But I'm learning, okay, to forgive. But I want you to know, if you want to follow God, He's not concerned about your happiness. But it's okay, you see, because when you continue to allow your mind to be renewed and when you are transformed, you will find that His delight now become your delight. It is actually better because He makes you better. He actually wants to make you holy. He wants to make you like Him. And I must tell you, sometimes we wonder, like, why? Why would we then, you know, want to follow God's will? And because it's so hard. But I tell you, because God loves us. And we are His bride, right? You still remember, right? Jesus is coming back again, right? Why? To marry us. So why would He want an unholy bride? He's definitely not coming for an unholy bride. Okay, that is also for sure. He's not coming for an unprepared bride. So what does it mean when He says church or the bride must be prepared? Means what? Renew your mind so that you can be like your groom. Then you can be happily ever after together forever. But if you are not, you dislike what Jesus thinks or what God thinks, you disagree with how He wants or how He saw us, how can you be happy? Actually, are you sure you want to be with God forever? Can you tahan Him? You're not sure, right? You better find out in the Word, lah. Okay, because that's why the Word is about actually to turn us, okay, to be His holy bride. Now, that is hard because now we have a mind, okay, so we have the Holy Spirit working us, enlightening us, okay, through the Word of God and then bringing change. And I tell you, it is supernatural. So you don't need to try hard. You just need to surrender hard. Always surrender. Always, you know, give to Him. Okay, so that's why the next verse, the verse before, the verse one, this is where it plays, you know, it's very important. It says, that is why, right, it says, you need to give your body as a living sacrifice. See, this six-pack body, it is very fierce. It is very powerful. When it's tired, you make sure you sure sleep one. You don't want to go to function, you don't want a very powerful master. You see, the Bible, someone once said this, the body is a great servant, but a lousy master. Don't let your body be the master. So this body will keep fighting, even though the conviction and the mind says that, okay, you know what, we serve. We serve in humility, you know, maybe you say, hi, good morning. Someone just passed by you, didn't even want to shake your hands. You know what the body say? Next time, I also don't want to reach out my hands. It's true, it's an automatic function. But how can you continue then be an usher? How can you just smile sincerely and want to welcome people no matter whether they choy you, they don't choy you, they say hello or they just walk past you or actually they complain, maybe say, hey, why is this place so hot? Maybe, you know, how are you going to do that? You have to sacrifice, Lord. You know, because dead people don't feel a thing. Dead people will not say they're hungry. They will not say it's hot. They will say, that's why God is so good. He taught us. He says, not only your mind need to be renewed, where you begin to have conviction, you have to help your body. You want to help everybody that was turning towards sin to now turn towards the Spirit of God. Okay? So He says, it's the only way you have to offer your body as a living sacrifice. And says, God, yeah, it's not what makes me happy. It's what makes you happy. God, it's not about me. It's about you. You still live, but you don't live your desire, your want, your opinion. You live His opinion in every matter, more and more. And this is where you are able then to live that life. Last question. Now, so why is this also important? Why? It's so hard. I have to renew my mind, you know. It's not about making me happy. Wow! Ask me to sacrifice, Lord. Wow, so hard. Why is it so important? And this is the short part. It says, While you're thinking, what is the will of God? We normally think, what is it that God wants me to do, right? Can I say this? God is more important about who you become. Oh my gosh. After so many years of following God, I keep thinking that it's about what He wants to use me to do. I finally realize more and more, it's just about who I am becoming. What are you becoming? Are you becoming more and more like Him? Because that's the only way we can let the Spirit lead us towards God. And God wants us to be like Him because He wants to be with us forever. That's what you sign up in your salvation. Did you know that? You want to enjoy God forever. But if you can't even enjoy the 5 minutes of worship, that's why you are late. Please don't be late for worship. Because it's an enjoyment with God. If it's the devotion, the time that you spend to get to know how He thinks, how He feels, what's important to Him, what's in His heart, and you already, I have no time to do 5 minutes. How are you going to spend eternity with Him? On Friday, we have our pastoral lunch. And one of the questions was, what is the greatest achievement in your life? If you know me, I've done a lot. But you know, my answer is really humbly this. I think my greatest achievement is that I have learned to die to myself more and more. Because the one that I thought was so great turned out quite horrible. I did, even the best of me hurts people, give pain, and make so many mistakes. The best of me. But when I die, I allow Christ to live through me. Oh, He is so much better. When He speaks through me, He speaks life to people. Death of my speech can be death to others. When I act, the best of me sometimes, I have expectation, I get hurt. But when I do it through Christ, it is beautiful. It doesn't matter what is the reaction, right, of others. It doesn't matter. It changes you. Because that's what who you're meant to be, like Him, like your Father. Last verse. He says, everything in the world is passing away with its desire. But whoever does the will of God, whoever does the will of God, but you cannot know and do the will of God if you do not renew your mind, and you cannot do the will of God if you do not offer yourself as a living sacrifice. You may not get to prove the will of God. But whoever does the will of God abides in Him forever. There's one change I realized in myself. Recently, I went to Japan after much persuasion by thousands of people who kind of concluded that Japan is like one of the best countries to go and visit. I finally made that trip in October. Sure, Japan is nice, yes. But the best thing for me was when I get to go to Shizuoka and visit our pastors there, Jocelyn. I discipled her when she was a student. I knew that she was so, so, so happy, okay, to see me. She said that so many times. Put notes, little gifts all the time. Just fellowshipping. He just, with three kids, she still chose to spend her time with me always, every day. And I remembered when I wanted to go home, in my mind, for traveling evaluation, I will not go back to Japan so soon lah. We'll go back one day. Maybe, you know, after Pastor Sean's persuasion, go Kyoto lah, you know, something else. Because this time I only went to Tokyo and Shizuoka. But Jocelyn said this, BC, will you come back next year? For traveling, I know I won't go back to Japan next year for sure. Okay. So I said to her, if God's willing, I will come back. Thank you, thank you. So, I don't know, everything else about food, traveling, shopping has become pale. The things of the world and this desire is supposed to be passing away for us too. We should be looking forward, right, to Jesus' return. Because that's where we are heading forever. This is all just short. My best experience in Japan was really the time I had with the church, the time I had with my nephew, talking about God calling him to Japan. Wow. The best time for me is talking about the kingdom of God, because that's the only kingdom that will last forever. Well, today, I'm going to end here. Why don't you just close your eyes? The world is passing away along with its desires. Are you thinking about the will of God? Are you starting to want to know and prove this will of God? This morning, I feel like you can just make your own space, your altar with God. Like I told you, He asked me to remind you He's here. You don't have to come out, but you can speak to Him and lay your life before Him and say that, wow, God, following the world, I've been focusing on so many things that the world tells me that's important. But today, I realize that you're important. You know, if that's you, and you felt a conviction to say that, God, oh my gosh, Lord, I want to follow your will. I want to prove your will. I want to be transformed, to be like you. You can stand just right where you are. And I will just pray for you. It's just a simple gesture to God to say that, God, today I want my life to turn around, thinking and proving the will that you have for me. Yeah. You know, if that's you, I will just give you a moment. You can just stand here. Thank you. Then I will pray with you and then we'll end. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. One more minute. God sees you, okay, wherever you stand. Lord, we thank you that you remind us about your will. The one that you said you have come to give us abundance. I pray today for those who took that courage to stand and say that, God, they want to know and prove this will of God today. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and start that work, even to honor their surrendering of their lives before you. I pray that, God, that your Holy Spirit will come and do that work. Turning them, renewing them, bringing not just regeneration, but renewal, God, transformation in their life. And so that, God, they can enjoy you. They can enjoy the life that you have given to them. And others around them, God, can also enjoy who you are in them. We thank you today. And for everybody else that is still allowing the truth to affect them, seasoning especially their thoughts, or revealing to them areas that, God, that they know that is not pleasing to you, areas, God, that is not right before you, God. I pray there will be conviction, repentance, and turning towards you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.